Just close it however
I'm going.
Well, first of all, I got a handheld.
I can't stay up there. I need y'all to notice a couple things about me real quick. And, well, you probably already know them. Number one, that is, I get distracted by certain things. I don't have ADD. I've never been diagnosed. I like to just say I have it at times to make excuses for things. But one thing that drives me nuts is to be way up there when everybody else is way back here. In fact, I told my wife, Mr. Sam and Edna Jr. saved a couple benches. I said, I'm even going to move this thing right to where people are because it just drives me nuts when I can't talk to people that far away. We're friends. We got to discuss things together. So, and I can't hold still. There's a couple reasons for that. One of them is that it doesn't show that I'm quite as nervous if I'm moving around, right? You can't tell that I'm shaking if I'm moving around. But I want you all to turn to John 15, and I'm praying like crazy. Thank you again for everybody who sent me some text. That was awesome. I got more encouragement. I've spoke more since I've moved down here than I have ever in all my life combined in the last 3 years. But I got more texts this last week than I have the whole 3 years combined. So that's awesome. I'm not the whole, I mean, as far as texts about, as far as speaking and phone calls. So thank you very much. John 15 is a very familiar passage about talking about the vine. But one of the reasons I wanted to share this, it's been a topic that I've shared a few other places. So I'm not going to say that this is the first time and that this is original. Actually, it is original. It's just the third time that it's original. And every time I go into it, and right away when Dale asked me, right away, I'm like, I could about talk that day because I just spoke about John 15. And I just loved what God did in my heart through that. So ultimately, that's what it comes down to. It's what God's doing in my heart through this topic of the vine. And this started, going back, this started when my wife had read a book, Max Lucado, he was speaking into this. So maybe some of y'all have read this book. I didn't read the book myself, but she quoted something that like just started this whole snowball thing in my mind. And that's another thing about me is that certain things happen and I don't let them go very quickly. And they get bigger. That's why my stories are so much fun, because they get exaggerated and they get bigger, funner to tell. I'm not going to exaggerate anything today. I'm not going to try to, because this is still, even though I like to have fun and I like to, I enjoy the Word of God, I don't want to make light of necessarily what it's saying. But my kids, I ask if they're going to take notes. So, I am going to give a couple things that hopefully, if nobody can remember anything, it would be like three things. And I'm going to have you write them down. And then even sometime later, you'll find it in your Bible, right? And you'll be like, what is this word? What does this mean? And maybe it'll bring it back, and maybe God will continue to work through this passions. Hoping you guys can be as excited about it as I am. So I'm gonna start reading at John 15 here. I'm gonna read the first 16 verses. If y'all just follow along with me, John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Everybody's still with me. I do also value audience participation, because then it also takes some of the pressure off of me. So what one word did we hear in here about 12 times? It wasn't 12 times, but what was one word? No, you're allowed to do this. I'm breaking all the rules. Audience participation. What one word did we hear more than anything else? Branch. That's not the one I was looking for, but thank you. What was the other one? Abide, which we're going to get to the branch too. We heard that, and thank you for sharing that. So that's the one thing. Please write abide. Turn to your neighbor and say abide. Yeah, see, we're going to break all kinds of rules. You guys just get so... You need to go to prison sometimes. Okay? I haven't heard an amen yet. That's okay. I'm okay with that because not everybody does that. But you said abide. So that's one of the first words we're going to talk about is abide. What does it mean to abide? And what is our what does that look like in real life? Not just a branch, not just in this thing with trees or with fruit trees or whatever, but what does it really mean to abide? And what is our responsibility? If you also go to, we'll get back to John 15, but if you would turn to Psalms 1:3 is a verse that talks about a tree by the water. And so we're going to tie that in here as well, as a tree planted by the river of life. Let me read that real quick. Let me read the first couple verses, actually. Blessed is the man, this is Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Pretty strong language there, but it's referring to a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Its source comes from the river, and it produces much fruit. And we're going to get into the producing thing here a little bit farther down. Okay, verse 4, a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It needs to be connected to the vine. So if you go back to John 15, so let's go with this on this illustration that Jesus is giving here. So we find out pretty quick who's who in the zoo. Okay, that's one of my favorite phrases to say. Who's who in the zoo? Who is the vine dresser? Who's the vine dresser? Audience participation. God, the Father. Who is the vine? Audience participation. The vine. Who's the vine? Jesus. Who are the branches? We are. You can say it out loud. We are. We are. So Jesus is putting it exactly how it is. So now imagine that you're in a orchard, or who all has fruit trees here? Not very many. I thought maybe y'all are Mennonites. Shouldn't you supposed to have fruit trees and gardens everywhere? So there's actually only a few of them. I don't have any now. That is actually one of my biggest goals that I want in life, is because some of it had to do with this, and some of it has to do because I like deer hunting and I want deer to have things to eat so they stay close by. But I love fruit trees, and this is something I've become somewhat obsessed with here recently, and it has to do a lot with my studying in this and what it really means to really abide, and how, and let me just read back over here again. I'm the true vine. My Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So what happens to the branch that doesn't bear any fruit? It's gone. Is gone. Now this is the nice way. And then if you go on down here to verse 6, he starts exaggerating again. So he starts telling stories and it gets bigger. Okay, not really bigger. But listen to this. This is what happens. So he repeats himself. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Sorry, verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out. Okay, let's count them. Jesse, hold your fingers up. He is cast out. Okay. He withers, they gather him up, they throw him into the fire, and they burn. So I was reading that one day. I'm like, that feels unnecessary. Verse 2 says it good enough. Any branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes it away. That's good enough. But I think the seriousness of this and what is required, or what is being asked of us as a Christian, as somebody who's attached to the vine, is that my job is to bear fruit. That's my job. Okay, now, I didn't like how I said that, because that's not exactly how I feel about it. My role is to bear fruit, okay? But the problem is, I think too many times, that, especially in maybe, okay, let me just say me. In my life and the way I was brought up, that it implies that my job is to go produce fruit. That's what I got to do. I got to go produce fruit. I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. I got to produce fruit. But that's not actually what it says. What does it actually say? My job is to what? Abide. My job, that's why I said abide. So that's the number one thing. The only thing you have to write down so far is abide. My job is to abide. My job is not to go out there and try to produce fruit, because I will screw it up. Do you understand? I mean, I really will. My job is to abide. My job is to stay attached, stay connected. Dale, you said in the Sunday school lesson about that not every day you have to feel like you have this awesome devotional. And I was thinking, like, you don't even know what I'm going to say. Because that's the reality. The reality is that there are days that it doesn't feel right. There are days that, man, I don't see much fruit. I don't see it very much. I have days that it's not going real good. But my job as a Christian, or my responsibility, is to stay connected to the source. Because it's through the source then produce is fruit, right? It's not me. Like, let me go ahead and put a cool, fancy, it would be like a Christmas ornament on a Christmas tree. That's really what it would be. I mean, it's just something that shiny and glittery, but inside it's hollow. And it hurts if you break it and step on it. I don't know where that came from. You're welcome. But that would be like a Christmas tree. That would be what I feel like I've done in my life a lot of times. Oh, we got this brand new one. This symbolizes something, and we're going to hang it on the tree. It is really awesome. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't ever get any better. It doesn't taste good. In fact, it would taste nasty probably if you go to eat it. And frankly, it's just something that can get stored away. And I can put it away, and then next year, when I need it, well, so everybody can see what it is. I don't know if I'm stepping on any toes here yet, but I'm just saying what this did to me. It's be like me pull it out. Oh, it's Christmas time. It's time for people to see my fruit. I'm going to hang it on the tree, and everybody's excited about what they see because it's that time of year. That's not what it's supposed to be like. I mean, we are supposed to. That's my daughter's toy. Yeah. Yeah, and the birds sit in the tree. Quick, throw that thing out the window. But my job is to stay connected to the vine. My job is to stay connected to the source, and then because I'm connected to the vine, then that's where the fruit comes from. It's not something that I produce of my own. It's because I'm connected. That's the reality of it is. Okay, so we're really hammering this thing about abiding. So again, let me just say this. If you want to write this down, that's cool too. Maddie, if you want to write this down, you can too. So our job, what's our responsibility is to abide. Our job is to stay connected. And what happens, what the result of abiding is the fruit. Do you all agree with me? Are we on track so far? It's not about putting up an ornament. It's not about doing something so people can see it. My job is to abide. And because, so what does abide mean? Well, let's say what, and that's what I'm saying, what Dale's saying. It's spending time in the Word. It's going to church. It's worshiping with other believers. It's being a part of a small group or whatever it might be. It's that prayer time. It's those things that's what I do. And what comes out of that is fruit. Okay, we've hit that enough. So that second thing you can write down, actually hold up. Let's go to Galatians 5:22. So what is fruit? What is this fruit that we're looking for that comes as a result of abiding? Any have any ideas? Audience participation? You got it. You're right on point. You could keep going with, because that's exactly what we're going to do. Galatians 5:22. This is the fruit that we're talking about, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, or long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what is produced when I abide. Point? Okay, we could be done with that, but we're not done because we're having too much fun. So the result of abiding is fruit. But now this is the question: what is the point of talking about fruit then, if we just all I got to do is abide? Should we still not talk about fruit? Should we still not examine our lives and see what the fruit is? What the fruit is? Should we not examine it? Socrates, the Greek philosopher, said this: "The unexamined life is not worth leading." And I thought that fit right in with this. The unexamined life is not worth leading. So we're not necessarily examining to see if we're abiding, even though that's a part of it. We're examining to see if the fruit is real, to see what is being produced out of our life, being produced out of abiding. And that's what it is. Okay, now we're going to talk about the hard one. That was the easy one, right? This is the second thing I want you to write down, Madison. Pruning. Does anybody like that idea? So let's go back to John 15 real quick. And I'm going to read verse 2 again. So now we know what happened to the branch that doesn't produce fruit. What happens? Audience participation. What happened to the branch that did not produce fruit? Cut off when you could do five or six things. And it burned. That was the last thing. So that means, okay, if somebody produces fruit, then it's so much better. And it is. But I read this. This was probably the first time I read it. And I got kind of upset about what happens to the people that produce. Why? Okay, we just heard that a branch that doesn't bear fruit gets cut off, but every branch that bears fruit does get to put his feet up, does get to sit on the recliner, does get to spend the day fishing, hunting, golfing. Those are things I like to do. No, actually, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. That's not justice. That's not the American way. I've produced. Why do I get pruned? I don't even like prunes. I mean, that's a whole other thing, but yeah, you're right. Why does the good dude get pruned? Because prune means cutting things off, right? I mean, right, that means you kind of eliminate things. Why does the good dude get pruned? Audience participation. Makes it better. So, okay, we're done now. We can pray. No, we got a long ways in there, but that's right. Because, and this is what I get excited about. This I was acting like I was upset. I was kind of, but then I got to thinking about what the goodness of God and what He wants out of me and how He wants to use me. Okay, remember, let's again. Who's who in the zoo? We're the branch. We don't do it. We're just abiding. It's not us doing everything. And this is what I like to say time and time again with God's grace and talking about us being ambassadors, which is a whole other thing, one of my favorite topics ever. But picture this. Jesus Christ came to earth, took our place on an old rugged cross, bared our sins, our griefs, our sorrows, took it upon himself, and he died, right? He did all that work, and this is just marvels me about his grace. If he did all that work, if it was me, if I did all that work, then I'm going to say, you know what? I did all this for you. You sit over here on the shelf so you don't screw it up again, because you will. But what does he want us to do? He wants us to be a part of it, and that boggles my mind. I mean, if I'm going to do something good, I'm going to fix something up. If I restore, I had a VW bug. That's a sore subject, isn't it? Long time ago, I had a little VW bug. This was before I knew who I was. And I'm like, this would be so much fun to fix up a little bug and all this stuff. And that I am not a mechanic. I don't even like cars now. Okay, now things are different. I actually don't like cars. I mean, I know that breaks a lot of stereotypes. I actually hate cars. I do. I wish we didn't have them. I mean, wish didn't have to have them. I guess technically we don't. If Mr. Ray was here, he said, well, I grew up with a horse and buggy. So, but I really don't. Why am I going with this? Do you know where I was going with this, babe? With the bug? Amen. Amen. There was a good reason for that. There was a good reason for that. But it does come down to the fact that I got something that I didn't even want. And now looking back, I was like, that is so dumb. You know, why would I even got involved with that? But that's a whole side note. Boy, Lord, you're going to have to take care of this, because I don't know where that was going. And that happens every now and again. That was my hiccup. So what are we writing down? We're writing down pruning. We're talking about pruning. Why does a good dude, I'm going back, I'm coming around. Why does a good dude get punished for doing what's right? Because of God's grace. Here it comes. It's coming. God chooses, even though in our craziness, in our crazy sinfulness, to forgive us, but not leave us on the shelf, but leave us on the branch, leave us on the vine, so that we can produce fruit to glorify Him. There it came. Whew, that was a big circle. Y'all probably didn't even see that coming, did you? But that's the goodness of our God and the grace that He wants to do amazing things through us, not because of who we are, but because of what He's done for us. He wants to do amazing things through us, and because of that, He leaves us on the vine, and He just starts pruning things off that's going to weigh us down. Romans 12, what's that verse in Romans 12, or Hebrews? Hebrews 12, 1, laying aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience. So all these things that God is pruning. So let me tell you this story here. We uh, This was in February. It would have been soon after Miss Heidi took our pictures. That actually about that week that we went to. I was going to Trenton one day, and I'm going up through there. I'm driving up 19, and I look over, and they just got done pruning everything, and the leaves were the pink leaves. It was beautiful. That's pretty cool. I will give South Carolina props for that. I will. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then I came around this corner, and we got all these, and there's like all these pruned branches, pruned twigs laying on the ground, and they had blooms on them. And I remember thinking, I'm like, that's not a good time. Why do it then? And all these, so the branches are dead. They're done. They're cut off. They're gone. And they're laying on the ground, but yet they got all these pretty flowers. And I got to thinking, why do it then? Why not? Shouldn't it have done sooner before they got pretty or something like that? And it was through that I believe God gave me this thought, and it hit me like a ton of flowers. I don't get to decide when I'm pruned. I almost like had to stop. I'm like, because I'm seeing all these beautiful flowers. I'm like, but God, those things are so pretty. And I thought of things, times in my life, and including one of the main times when before we came down here, that I'm like, God, you wouldn't ask me to move to South Carolina because I got all these pretty flowers going on. I'm a youth pastor. I'm real involved with my church. I'm involved with kids club. You wouldn't take that because that looks pretty. And you wouldn't ask me to get rid of something that looks pretty, would you? You wouldn't ask me to cut off something that looks beautiful. But the reality is it's happened in my life. There's times that God has taken things out of my life, and now looking back, it's easy to, because 3 years later, I'm like I've said before, I don't know if I've told you all this here, but these last 3 years of my life and my family's life have been some of the best, and South Carolina has nothing to do with it. Maybe the fruit trees. Because when we allow God to take things out of our life, and that's the way I'm going to say it, maybe that's a little harsh, but when we allow God to take things out of our life and surrender them to Him, which is what pruning is to me, if we allow God to do that, the things that He will produce out of that will blow our minds. And I'm a walking proof of that. That I can look back at these last 3 years and see how my family grew up and my kids grew up and been involved with these people in prison. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. I wouldn't trade it for anything. And there was a time before I came here, God, you can't take the pretty flowers. That's what I'm known for. You know, I don't know if this is touching home with anybody. If there have been times they're like, well, God would never take this out of my life because I'm making an impact for the kingdom. Okay, that was exaggeration. Because there are times that I've done that, and I realize that some of those things, not so much that they were bad, but that the time or the season was about to change. And it was not so much that it was sin, not so much that it was weighing me down specifically, but it was not time for that season in my life. And that's what I thought of when I was going through Trenton. I'm going to Trenton. I'm like, man, I don't get to decide. And why don't I get to decide? Any ideas? That's it. But I screwed up because I'm the branch. I don't get to decide because I'm the branch. Can I say that anymore? But I can choose how I respond to it. I can choose how I live my life in that, obviously. I mean, I can be cantankerous, but we also know what happens with a branch. It don't bear fruit. You're right. It's pretty hardcore. Let's flip over to Hebrews 12. That would actually be the other thing that if you could write one thing down, because that's one of the biggest things that impacted me, was that idea that I don't get to decide when I'm pruned. How many times have you been, okay, all right, God, this would probably be a fitting time because it fits in my schedule. We can cut this out now. We don't need this anymore. No, I don't get to decide. I don't get to decide because my job or my responsibility is to abide in the vine. And again, even though it hurts at the time, even though it don't make sense at the time, I do believe that later on, obviously in heaven at some point, but later on, even in life, even if it's 2 or 3 years later, that we'll see, wow, God was doing something that I needed so bad and I didn't even see it. And I didn't. And I thought it was good reasons not to. So let me read Hebrews 12, starting at verse 6. This talks about sons, and then we're going to wrap it up with this right here. And then also going back to John 15. So Hebrews 12, verse 5, and this talks about exhortation us as sons, as children, and as a father, how he chastens us, and we're going to tie these verses in. Verse 5 of Hebrews 12, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. By for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have human fathers who corrected us. Orndorff children, you can listen to this real good here. Furthermore, we have human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For indeed, for a few days chastening us seems best to them, but for he it is our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. And then go back to, so what does that say? That who does the father chasten? Audience participation. Who does the father chasten? Those he loves, who are his children or sons. Yes. So now let's go over here. This is beautiful. This just gives me the warm fuzzies. Because we understand again, okay, if you would have stayed in the first part, you'd been like, man, it hurts to be a Christian. It hurts to be a branch because good things can be cut out of my life. That hurts. And they get thrown away. They get discarded. You know, remember that. And if we stay in that, then that would be frustrating. But if we go to the fact that God is doing this because we are loved and because we are his children, then that changes the whole game, don't it? And if we are no longer servants, but we are actually his friends. And that's how verse 15 ends it. And I just love this right here. Let me start reading verse 9 and we're going to wrap it up. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So that's what it means to abide. It also means to keep his commandments too. So we do have that responsibility. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. What some translations say complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer. Now this is part. I was reading this. I'm like, well, God, there's a lot of times that you're doing things in my life that I say, what are you doing? Is it anybody else be honest here? Transparent. Thank you for that word this morning, Tyler. Transparent. Can somebody else be transparent? Have you ever asked God, man, what are you doing? You don't say it like that. You guys probably. Oh, thou great and father. What are you doing? That I have done that. But now verse 15 says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. Now he's talking. You know, I was reading that. He talking specifically to the disciples at that point with that part that I'm telling you things, because there's things that I still don't know what God's doing. But the fact that the change that it comes here, that it's not just an angry vine dresser walking along and snipping things off. Yeah, you need to get rid of that. That's weighing us down. That's screwing everything up. It's not that. It's the idea of a friend. No, God calls us friends. Not just somebody that I saved and put on a shelf as a trophy so everybody can see what I did. No, he saved us to be a part of what he's doing. Is that cool? Nobody else thinks that's cool? I just think that's pretty awesome. He saved us to be a part of what he's doing. He saved us to stay onto the vine, to cut these things off, to stay connected so that I will produce more fruit. Again, that he would be honored and glorified from that. Boy, I was so off of that. I don't even know why I brought this up here. I have no idea where that was at. But that idea that God is called us his friends. And I don't, you know, I'm thankful, God, for your Holy Spirit, that I don't have to come up here and try to think of a good thing to say that would be fitting to what everybody's going through. I don't have to do that. I said at Rescue Mission on Wednesday night that I don't have to think, okay, I'm going to prison today, so this would be a fitting thing. Or I'm going to Rescue Mission, this would be a fitting thing to share. I don't have to do that. I just have to abide. And because God and His Holy Spirit is already doing things, I can see it on some of y'all's face. Some of y'all are just saying, man, I can't wait for lunch. Some of you are saying, like Dale, some of you are saying about leaving. Some of you be really ready for me to leave after this. I don't have to worry about what y'all are thinking because the Holy Spirit is doing stuff in y'all's hearts. You know what I mean? And all my job is to do is to abide and just to share what He's done for me and what He's showed me through that. So I don't have to try to make it fit everybody. So I don't know what everybody's dealing with. I don't know what you're thinking about as you go through this. But of a couple things that, again, that we could hit on. Number one, that my responsibility is to abide. Fruit is produced because of my abiding. Okay. The second one is pruning. Oh, let me just say this. I was watching a video actually about pruning, and I know every illustration breaks down at some point, right? But one of the things about pruning is one of the first branches that you want to snip out of there is branches that are turned inward. Now, I'm just going to leave that here, okay, and y'all deal with that, okay? But that's one of the first things to go, branches that are turned inward because they are not doing what they're supposed to do. We're leaving that there. That's free of charge. Actually, it might have cost a lot, but... if I could leave anything with you, though, it would be this last thing about being called friends and that God, in His sovereignty, already knows what we're dealing with, already knows what we're fixing to go through, and is already dealing with those things. And yet He will show us those things. And that's the part, not as a servant, that just happens. Right now, we're dealing with stuff at Broad River that the chaplain, because of his responsibility and because of who he is accountable to, he doesn't tell things to the inmates, even though they're good chapel workers, right? He doesn't tell them things. He can't. He's not allowed to. He shouldn't tell them things, okay? And I understand that. But there's times that I'm the kind of this in-between person, and I'm thinking, man, it would be helpful if these dudes would know this right now. But because of the situation, he can't tell them. Okay, but it would be helpful for what they're going through. I believe, and I know sometimes we don't know what God's doing, and there will be a period of our life, I believe, that we won't know certain things. But I believe because we are considered God's friends, we're not His servants, that He just does things and moves on through and we're left in the wake. It's not like that. We're His sons. We're His friends. And He actually is sharing and teaching us and speaking to us through His Word and through His Holy Spirit and through people around us too, that God is sharing and showing us things of what He's doing, even though there will be times, maybe for a season, what are you doing? Well, the ultimate goal is we are friends, we are sons. Even though we are going through this time, perhaps of pruning, we are still his sons and His daughters. A song. That's all I got right there. Oh, I'm about on point. You got a song? Okay. All right. Let's stand and we'll close with that. Father in heaven, thank you so much, God, for this illustration that you've given to us about the vine. And God, there are so many other things that we could have gone through here. And Lord, I just rely on your Holy Spirit to show us things. Lord, thank you, God, for saving us, but not just setting us aside, but actually calling us to be a part of what you're doing. God, and my goal right now would be just to glorify you with all my heart in those things that you've called us to be a part of. But Lord, I recognize over and over again that if I try to do anything of my own, whether it even be a good thing or not, I'm going to mess it up if I'm not abiding in you and what you're speaking to me and what you're sharing and what you're filling me up with. So God, thank you for that reminder. God, thank you again for this church and every one of these people that are here that have made a huge impact on me and my family's life. God, thank you for their their desire to serve you and desire to follow you. God, I just ask that I pray a blessing over them, Lord, as they go from here and the different things that they're involved with individually and then also collectively as a church, God, with this thrift store thing. God, whatever you're doing here, God, I just ask that you would show it to them and you would give them wisdom. And thank you again for their friendship. And most of all, God, thank you that you have actually called us your friends and your sons and your children. And thank you so much for this opportunity. I pray this all through Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Love it.